and welcome to the Destiny Prague podcast. Our heart is to see people empowered by the love of Jesus and activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God is still relevant today, and we trust that this message will bless you, challenge you, and fill your heart and mind with the truth of who God is and who you are in Christ. We believe that God has a plan for your life, and we want to journey a road of discipleship with you as you discover who He has called you to be. If you'd like to connect with us, check out our website at destinychurch.cz. Let's go.
So if you just landed here today or you're watching online, here's what some people do. And if I was new to church, this is what I would do too. They watch online for like 2 weeks in a row to see if people are crazy, and then they come, you know? I'm telling you today that there's no crazy people here. We're just passionate about Jesus. And if it is your first time, hey, you got to get to know some of the amazing people around here who are passionate about God. And if you get around them, build relationship with them, they will help you grow, and you can grow together. Amen. So if we haven't met, I'm Daniel, and Audrey mentioned, along with my beautiful wife, so much more prettier than me. Megan, we are the location pastors of Nuremberg region. We have two locations in the area, in a city just outside of Nuremberg called Fürth, and one about an hour away called Ansbach. And we're so blessed to be a part of the Destiny family. And I haven't seen a church like Destiny that has such a team spirit and a family spirit and a one. And we say we're one in Europe. We're one church in many locations. We've said it that way before. Really true. And we're a team together, and we're always talking and always meeting up with each other. And we have times throughout the year where we get to see each other. I was just talking to somebody, each other on Zoom, get to do online. And we're so honored to have Pastor Liam as our lead pastor and location pastor here in Prague as well. And God is doing so much here. Amen. You have an amazing team, and I'm honored to be here. I really wish I could, I don't know if it's like a survey after church or something about how the preacher did. The tithes and offerings. That's a terrible church joke. 5 stars, that way I can come back more, okay? You ever get off the phone with one of these guys? Hey, survey's at the end of the call, give me 5 stars. I'll give you what I want to give you. Give me my money back or something, whatever I want. Customer's always right. Well, we've been in a series, I understand, called Courageous Prayers. Courageous Prayers. And maybe you have, maybe you've grown up in church your whole life. And maybe this is your first time in church. And that's what I love about Destiny. We have a culture of grace here. You don't have to believe what we believe to belong here. You can fit right in, and you're learning along the way. And so maybe you came in here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and we're so honored that you're here. We're going to give you an opportunity to make that decision today as well. The greatest decision that you can ever make is to make a decision and to follow Jesus and have a relationship with Him, and we'll give you that opportunity. But maybe you have spent your whole life, Christian life, or going, I don't know how to pray. What do I pray? And this is a big subject that sometimes we don't like to confront as Christians, because it's like, oh, we should know how to pray. I don't want to admit that I don't know how to pray. And I love this idea of courageous prayers, because there's some bold prayers that we can pray in life that really will unlock some things for you. And we're going to talk about one of them today. I remember one time I was driving down the road with my wife before we were married, and we prayed a prayer. I remember exactly the spot I was in. We were driving at night, and we were praying wherever we were going. I don't know. All the single people in the room, date somebody who will pray with you. Come on. And we were praying, and we said, God, water the seed of greatness in us. Water the seed of greatness in us. I still remember that prayer, as short as it was, but it was so powerful because it unlocked something in us. It was a courageous prayer, because when God does something that you're asking big like that, you better look out, buckle up. It's going to be an adventure. But today we're going to pray, and we're going to learn about this dangerous prayer, fill me. fill me. I want to read to you really quickly Ephesians 5:18. This short verse, but I think there's a lot of potential packed in this and potency. Ephesians 5:18. It says this, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, please hear me. This is not a message on should Christians drink or not. This is a message on what God wants to do in your life and the potential that you have. Everybody say, fill me. Now, I need to establish a theological basis just for a moment before we dive into some of the content. When you get saved, when you give your life to Jesus, you're filled with the Spirit of God, the indwelling Spirit. Without the Spirit of God, you can't be saved. He leads you into it. You're filled with His Spirit. So for those of you who have given your life to Jesus, He fills you with His Spirit. Then there's another experience that we read in Acts chapter 2:1-2. Jesus alludes to it in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 2, we see the disciples being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And if you're around Destiny long enough, you'll hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Much like baptism in water, when you go under the water, you're submerged. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're covered, you're submerged with Holy Spirit. However, we see that there's one baptism, but many fillings. There's other instances in your life where though maybe you're saved and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, He can fill you up. And we read that in instances like Acts chapter 4. Peter himself was there in the upper room in Acts chapter 2 when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. But later in Acts chapter 4, it says Peter was filled with the Spirit. So again, he was baptized with the Spirit. He was filled again with the Spirit. In Acts chapter 4:31, Peter again was with other believers who had been baptized with the Spirit. And it said they were filled with the Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So there's these instances where we see people were filled, were baptized with the Spirit and filled many things. Good question. You've got to be continually filled, if you will. You can't remain that way. And the same way is with the Spirit. So don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, have another drink. Don't cut this part out of the sermon and then put that on YouTube Shorts, okay? When you're filled, I'm going to make this correlation again, okay? Don't be religious on me. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're under the influence. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're under His influence. And there's this moment where you can continually be filled with Him. I brought it's a bit like a balloon. I had to blow this up one time just so, you know, anybody ever like almost pass out blowing up balloons? I didn't want to do that. Filled with the Spirit. But sometimes you go through life and you just get caught up in all the worries of life. I really wanted to do this. Is this like chalk on a, or like nails on a chalkboard to anybody? I did an illustration the other day and I saw people's faces there. I was like, I gotta stop doing that. But this is too fun. And sometimes our life can leak. Ooh. I wonder if that's what some of our lives sound like. and not because you had burritos last night. Filled with the Spirit. Can I also tell you that this balloon does nothing unless it's filled? It just sits there. If I really wanted to mess with you, I could blow it up and shoot it around the room because there's power behind it because it's filled. No, that would be bad because there's my spit in here. I almost did it. Praying, fill me, you might be asking, why is that a courageous prayer? I started to think about this actually when I was given the task to do fill me. I thought, well, is that a courageous prayer? Because that seems all about me. Fill me. Fill me. Do something new in my life. But can I tell you that praying fill me is a courageous prayer because it's actually not about me. But be filled with the Spirit. Do not give into and cave into your addiction, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, but I can't get rid of this habit. Fill me, God. I don't know if I can shake that. I don't know if I can let that go because I really like, that's my comfort. I can't let what that person did to me go because it really hurt me. But fill me, God. No. If you're going to be filled, you have to let go of everything else that's inside. Being filled means I've got to be emptied of everything else. I got to let go of the need for acceptance. Fill me, Lord. I've got to let go of the need for pleasures. I want to do this. I want to do that. Pursuit of happiness. You got to let go of some grudges, some addictions. It's about less of me, more of him. That's why John says in John 3, he must increase and I must decrease. It happens together. When he increases in my life, I decrease. And if I'm not willing to decrease, if I'm not willing to let go of some stuff, then he can't increase in my life. I need to be willing to let go of some things. Empty me. If I'm going to be filled, I need to be empty. See, God fills me not for me, but for a greater purpose. Being filled also means I'm available to be used by God. Otherwise, if I'm not filled, then I'm just a bag of balloons. What is that? What good is this? I wonder how many of us are potential lying in a bag. I wonder how many of us, because we're trying to be filled with everything else, haven't got to experience the God-given potential in our life. You're not filled for your purpose, but his purpose in your life. A vessel, a cup of water, it's not filled for its own benefit. What does a cup benefit? It's just there to hold what's inside. You are filled for the benefit of the higher purpose than you. I know this maybe isn't the message that was like, yay, Jesus wants to fill me. He does because he wants to use you. But I'm telling you today, when he fills you, there's some things that got to go and there's a purpose that you got to go on. You're carrying, when you're filled, something of great value. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. The same Spirit who rose Christ from the dead lives in me. Do you understand that when you're filled, you're a spiritual giant walking into the room? No matter how insecure insecure you've ever felt, no matter how many people have said you never will or you never could, you are a spiritual giant walking in the room, not because of you, but because you're a vessel filled with the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, who heals the blind, who raises the dead. You are filled with the Spirit. This blows my mind that the God of this universe, in his perfection and in his holiness, would want to live in me. You don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I think. Why would God want to come live in me? I'm carrying something of great value. In Acts 4:31, it says, and they prayed. I alluded to this verse earlier. And the place where they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. They were filled. They were filled so that they could be happy? No. They were filled because they were having a spiritual party? No. So they could speak the word of God boldly. You're filled for a purpose. When God fills you, there's dormant gifts lying inside of you that will be ignited. When the Holy Spirit fills you up, I wonder if that's why Paul said you need to fan into flame the gifts that are in you. When you're filled, there's dormant gifts that maybe you didn't even know that were there, or maybe that you let go of a long time ago, that he fans into flame and he uses them not for your glory, but for his glory. Look out, Prague, when there's a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Look out, Prague, when there's a church that says, fill me. Look out, Prague, when there's a church that wakes up in the morning and whatever it is you're about to do that to that day, say, fill me, God. I'm ready. Use me. Fill me up today. Because there's some gifts inside of you that God wants to ignite. Being filled means I need to be surrendered. If I'm not surrendered to him, I can't be filled. It requires an openness and a vulnerability. If I'm going to be filled with his Spirit, I need to be willing for him to fill me up. I need to be surrendered to the Lord. It takes surrender. In Ephesians, when he talks about being filled with the Spirit, it's not so much, I kind of had the picture of like a cup with water being filled up, but it's actually not that. It's more like the balloon, but more specifically, it's wind into a sail. A sail being filled with wind. I love that. Because a sailboat is not operated by its own power. It can only go when it's powered by an outside source, when it's filled. It only has purpose when it's filled. It only can go somewhere. I was going one way, but I'm submitted. Fill me, and I'm going in the direction that the Lord needs me. I was stagnant. Maybe some of you in here today, your life, your purpose, your walk with the Lord has felt stagnant. Can I tell you, pray, fill me. Because you've been sitting, maybe waiting for life's circumstances to get better, and the waves are tossing you around. But when the Spirit of God fills you, he propels you into your purpose. Fill me. I was watching a YouTube short, and I thought it was interesting. I was watching it 2 days ago in preparation to this message. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And a guy, you guys are a lot smarter than me in this room, so you'll understand this a lot quicker than I did. But the title of the short was, will a sailboat go if the fan is on the sailboat or something like that, you know? If you put the fan on the sailboat and it blows wind in the sail, will it go? And I'm like, well, I really want to know. And you guys are already thinking, well, I know what's going to happen. And the reality and the truth is that if you put a fan on the boat and blow wind into the sail, it won't go. because it actually needs a source outside of itself, because it's actually pushing against each other. I wonder how many of us are pushing against what God is trying to do in our life, because we're trying to make it happen on our own strength. We're trying to make it happen in our own power. We're trying to, oh, I need to do this. I need to get better at this. I need to do, no. God, fill me. I am desperate for you and you alone. Fill me up. Fill me up. And some of us have walked in and or logged in maybe and said, I'm dealing with some, I don't want to surrender. That seems weak. That seems, but it takes a surrender to be filled. It takes a surrender to be filled. Is everybody okay? Okay, worship team, can you come? I'm going to close in about 3 minutes, 3.5. 6 minutes. Is that how much time I have? I do have three. Oh. 2 Kings 4. I'm going to go to the word really quickly, and I want to read to you this story in 2 Kings out of the Old Testament, and then we're going to land the plane. 2 Kings 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you are the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be slaves.' And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?'" Turn to the person next to you, say, "What's in your house?" Wow, you guys are interactive. Listen. He said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Go out and borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So he went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, somebody say full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said, then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "So go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." This is a picture of a woman who is desperate, who her sons were about to be sold because they had no money left. They were in debt. She was completely desperate. And here comes Elisha the prophet saying, "Listen, go take what you have in your house." Some of you've got jars of oil, of just a little bit of oil maybe sitting in the corner. This jar was sitting in the corner. And I wonder how many of us, we have potential, we have dreams in our heart, and you've put it off in a corner and it's collecting dust. What's in your house? What's in you? What's in you? What has God placed in you? What dreams in your heart? Has he said, "I've placed this in your heart that you've ignored because you're too embarrassed, because people have said the opposite about you and they've put false labels on you and you've tucked them away in the corner, and there's this jar in the corner. Take that jar and also go take the empty jars from your neighbor's house." What's interesting is that God used the empty jars of the neighbors, vessels that weren't being used. See, those neighbors could have had full jars, but they had empty jars. I don't want to be somebody who sits aside and says, "Here's my empty jar," not using it, not utilizing the potential, and then God uses it somewhere else. So she collects these empty jars from these neighbors who weren't using them. And they were full. And they were full until there were no more. See, God fills what's available. God will fill what's available. You're available, say, "Fill me. Fill me up." Stand to your feet with me and we'll... If today you want to pray, it's a courageous prayer. Nobody's stopping you if you don't want to pray this. But if today you want to pray genuinely fill me up. I'm ready to be emptied of the things that are in me. I'm ready to be used by God, and I'm here I am, fill me, I'm surrendered. Can you just put your hands like you're receiving something today? I believe like Peter and the disciples, they were continually filled. God wants to fill you all today. Can you pray this with me? Say, Holy Spirit, fill me. I'm available. Maybe the greatest message that you need to hear in this today is that the God of this universe, creator of heaven and earth, creator of you, wants to live inside of you. Not just me with a microphone. He wants to live inside you. And he's only waiting for an invitation. And it might surprise you today that he's been waiting his whole life, your whole life, for you to say, yes, Lord. So can you all pray this with me? And if you're praying this for the first time, the Bible says when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Take residence in your heart. Things will begin to change in you as he speaks to you and as he shows you. I want you to pray this with us, but let's all pray together for the benefit of those who are making a decision today. Can you say, Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, that you died for me and you've forgiven my sins and you rose from the dead, raising my life with you. I invite you to be the Lord of my life and fill me today and have a relationship with me today. I surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If that was you and you made that decision, we want to know today. We'll have some more instruction on how to do that. We'd love to pray for you as well. Let me just pray for all of us as we worship again. Father God, I just thank you today that you fill us afresh. Thank you, Lord God, that the dormant gifts inside of people would come alive today in Jesus' name. Like Paul told Timothy to fan into flame the gifts inside of him. God, I thank you that there wouldn't be a person in this room and online who's not utilizing the full gifts that you've placed in them for the kingdom. God, even people who've sat in the background, I'm just speaking this out right now, sat in the background thinking, oh, I can't do that. They do it better than me. No, God, that you fan into flame and that the saints in this room and the saints online would be equipped for ministry in their workplace, in their university, in the body of Christ on a Sunday morning in small groups. Small group leaders would rise up, stewards would rise up, tech team and worship team would rise up, God, and missionaries into the university would rise up, and missionaries into the companies would rise up, because Holy Spirit, you fill us up and you ignite into flame what's in us. Come on, let's believe today for what God is going to do in us. Fill us up afresh in Jesus' name.